You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're on. We're on with Ron Book. He's a specialist in government affairs and administrative law. He's probably the most effective lobbyist that we've seen in Tallahassee in quite some time. And, Ron, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much again for inviting me back. And you're right, Jim. Area that we really didn't talk about was the total child welfare area, as well as the area of childhood sexual abuse that is so near and dear to us. But I would be remiss if I didn't start by recognizing first the Sun Sentinel for the series they ran in late August titled Sexual Predators Unleashed, which resulted in the passage of sweeping reforms in the area of protecting children against childhood sexual abuse. In fact, the first four bills that the legislature took up on opening day were four sexual assault bills, one that dealt with further elimination of statute limitations, one that deals with mandatory minimum sentences, especially 50 years, especially for those who offend against individuals with developmental delays, children with autism, Down syndrome, 90% of which will be offended against in their lifetime. They closed loopholes in the Jimmy Rice Act, which is the civil commitment statute, and they broadened the base of those that would be reviewed before their criminal sentences get completed. We passed a provision on the last day of the legislative session terminating parental rights of convicted sexual predators, whether their offense was against their own children or not. It terminates their parental rights so we don't put children in harm's way. On the last day of the legislative session, we also passed a provision that on the license, driver's licenses of sexual predators, it will now say in big letters, sexual predator, so that when law enforcement officers stop somebody on a routine traffic stop and there's a little kid in their car and they see sexual predator on the license, driver's license, they can look a little further to make sure that that's not a child in harm's way immediately. But in addition to that, the child welfare package, which was authored by Senator Eleanor Sobel of South Broward County, we will increase the child investigators by over 400 and reduce caseloads of child investigators from 20 cases to 10. We changed the presumption of that a child belongs in preserving the family unit to what's in the child's best interest. We have put some immediate panels together to deal with child death, and that is as a result of the Miami Herald series authored by Audra Birch and Carol Marvin Miller of the Miami Herald and their investigative series known as Innocence, I-N-N-O-C-E-N-T-S, Innocence Lost, and they chronicled the lives of 477 young children from throughout the entire state of Florida who lost their lives as very, very young children, infants, toddlers, because the Department of Children and Families didn't have all the tools and the presumptions against taking a child away from a family were not properly in place, that left many children whose families couldn't get services to potentially be in a position to save those children's lives from doing so going forward. So all in all, one of the things that this legislative session will go down for is protecting children from childhood sexual abuse, protecting children from child abuse in general, and making our children safer as a whole.
Well,
that's
Ron,
what this legislature should be known for.
Well, Ron, you know, you're wonderful in deflecting the praise and the credit, but a lot of those laws, I know that you had a hand in probably writing some of the legislation directly, and I want to congratulate you and Lauren, especially Lauren, on receiving her Power of One Award recently from Tracy Morning and the Honey Shine Foundation. I know that she was the L'Oreal Woman of Worth, and a lot of this and a lot of it, I gotta just give you a high five. And I'm sitting here, you know, rolling my finger around my 42 million bracelet. I was at Green Street the other day and saw Coach Spo wearing his. So I'm doing it on the sideline. I see Coach Fiorentino wearing his all the time. You know, it's just amazing how you've been able to cobble together this coalition of caring people to protect our kids.
Thank you. But the, you know, as I tell people all the time. You know, I had children, and I always wanted to be my children's hero. My daughter has turned out to be my hero. So thank you.
Well, Ron, it's our pleasure. Now, what do you see coming up here locally on some of the Hallmark issues? You may not be directly involved, but we've got, for instance, the soccer stadium being kicked all over town. First, they were going to put it at the port on the on Dodge Island. Now they're talking about filling in the slip next to the arena. I personally like a location over by the mass transit by the airport. I'm not asking really for a position. What do you see as some of the things that are going to come to light that we should look for here?
Let's just talk briefly about that. It's no secret that I represent the Miami Dolphins. And it's no secret that a piece of legislation that came out of this year's legislative session will not only help the soccer stadium get built, but also help Dolphin Stadium, Sun Life Stadium, with their renovation project. But all that said, here's what I would say to you. If we didn't build a baseball stadium downtown in one of those parks, I'm not sure that we should be building a soccer stadium on the water either. That said, look, I think sports franchises and sports franchise facilities and cultural arts facilities and the like and the performing arts facilities are all extremely valuable, important community assets. And I think that we get a tremendous return on investment. It's not just what we get locally. It's the message that goes out around the country and around the world, much the way the AAA will be lit up in colors tonight in downtown when the Miami Heat takes on the Brooklyn Nets in Game 2 of Series 2 on their way to their three-peat.
Oh, yeah.
Those things come back in aces. It's not all about how many people visit our community for those games and events. It's all of what the positive publicity generates for year-round tourism for our community or year-round economic development for a community, which I think oftentimes gets lost in adversarial rhetoric in an effort to stop these things from occurring. I'm not going to say which site's the best site or the worst site. I would simply suggest I believe there are lots of qualified sites in our community, near mass transit lines, things that make it more convenient for our citizens to attend. I think a lot of these sites that are also considered seriously.
Well, I think that I agree with you completely, and I want to talk about some of the convenience. You know, big issue and thing that is changing dramatically here in Miami as we get population concentrations in new locations is the transportation is becoming more and more difficult in and out of our urban core as well as around it. Is there anything that you can see on the horizon that would be able to address some of these things? Is there anything being talked about?
Well, look, there's continued talk about additional rail links and the like, and what did happen this legislative session is the Department of Transportation did get their budget requests fully filled, and I believe at the end of the day, again, we will continue to see transportation projects in our community thrive in an effort to try to help us meet the mass transportation infrastructure needs that we have in Miami-Dade and in South Florida as a region. All aboard Florida is in part about that, but more needs to be done to be able to move folks through our community.
Are you seeing a little bit more of the regional legislators sort of working together on these regional and super-regional issues? Because I believe that a lot of the biggest problems can't be solved if you don't get rid of the arbitrary municipal lines.
Well, I think you got to get rid of those invisible geographic lines that oftentimes separate county by county, city by city. So I couldn't agree with you more. You know, regionalism is not a subject that has been fully embraced and adopted by our elected officials. I think so much more could be done on a regional basis. But the answer is more is done today than was done a year ago and 2 years ago and 5 years ago. And you got to be cautiously optimistic that we'll break those geographic barriers down and we'll break the political barriers down and we'll break the barriers of parochialism down and break the barriers of it's got to be all about me down to where it's all about the area and the people who live in the area.
You know, last time I was at your office, I'm just rapid firing this. I never have enough time with you. When I was at your office, the last time was the day of the cataclysmic Aventura rain, which kind of brings into focus, you know, climate change. I know the president focused on it. We had Senator Nelson down here focusing on it. Is Tallahassee taking a look? Because we got a whole lot of exposed coastline.
You know, not quite as much about those global warming kinds of issues and the like. that really properly debated and discussed in Washington. But I would say the following. Our local lawmakers worked together better this year than in a decade or two. That's why our K-12 system came out as well as it did. That's why Jackson ended up as well as it did. That's why our higher education programs did. But in addition to that, Jim, more local projects, which they like to call turkeys, more local projects that deal with our stormwater runoff, that deal with the flooding in our communities, got funded this session than ever before. And while you're going to read in the coming days about Tax Watch and their turkey list and this and the that, and it didn't pass through this process, let me just tell you, they did more to fund those needs than ever before, and those are projects that are of urgency in our community. Getting a hold of the stormwater problems, the runoff problems, the flooding problems, all of which cause damage, all of which cause pain, all of which cause suffering in our community. It causes lost revenues for businesses. It causes people to lose days on their jobs. It's a big deal, and that's a big deal. And by the way, the legislature also found a way to fund $1 million for the renovation and restoration of the historic Marine Stadium on Virginia Key. And they found a way to provide infrastructure for the tourism an economic development project known as Skyrise, going to be built in downtown, that's going to bring millions of visitors to our community. All in all, they work to provide needed funds to our community to meet the priorities of the citizens of our community.
You know, it sounds like the projects you're talking about are things that it's tough to build a coalition and a consensus around, but are still needed, and sometimes you need to be addressed as an executive action.
You know, oftentimes, Jim, people criticize us for wasting money here and wasting money there, and they like to call projects that get inserted in the budget as turkeys. Here's what I could say to you. There is no license by state agencies or governmental agencies of what's good and what's bad. Oftentimes, others bring things to the legislature that are appropriate priorities, and there's a reason we have a legislature. There's a reason the Constitution makes them lawmakers. There's a reason why the governor recommends a budget, and we ask legislators to build their own budget and pass it and send it to the governor, because we vote for those people who are supposed to have individual minds and hearts and thoughts that represent the almost 20 million Floridians in the state of Florida.
Well, hallelujah, Ron. I mean, my gosh, we got to get you back because I want to find out what's going to happen next year.
I look forward to the opportunity every time you and Vivian and your entire crew there invite me to come back. The listeners are fortunate to have you bringing topics to them each and every day that you're on the air that impact them as citizens and taxpayers of our community.
Ron Book, watchdog for our community. Ron, thank you to you. Thank you to Lauren for all the people she touches that she's never even going to meet. And thank you for everybody involved with Lauren's Kids. We're so glad to be a part.
Listen, I made a mistake not talking about that 1,500-mile walk-in-my-shoes walk that she did for the fifth time this year, having covered over 6,000 miles, touching the lives of tens of millions of Floridians. Thank you so very much for all you've done to help.
It's our pleasure. We're going to have you guys back on soon. Vivian's going to work on that, and we'll talk all Lauren's Kids.
My love to all both of you. Thank you.
We love you, too. All right, Oscar, we're going to be back with our UHealth guest. We're going to talk about mental health, new trends, things you need to know about. So get yourself focused correctly. If you're angry in traffic, we'll talk about what to do it after this break. Oscar.